Ladies and gentlemen, joined once again by Phil and Mitch from Waylon. It is a big day as On The Way is ready for you. This is the new Waylon release. The boys sent me a copy. I didn't know what to do with myself because it's a CD. Now, I have a CD player, but I wanted to be able to take the music with me. So I ripped it off digitally and loaded it into my system so I could have it wherever I go. But folks can get it in all the usual spots. But how do you want people to consume your new music, guys?
Well, that's really up to them. You know, we did print CDs because we know that a lot of our listener base loves to hold on to something. And this is actually the first time that we've ever printed vinyl records as well.
I see that a lot. I see a lot of artists are printing vinyl records, and they're using the heavy gauge vinyl. Like they're very durable. They're not very flexible at all. Is that what you're doing, or is it a record that, because some people actually spend a ton of money and they're almost like pieces of metal, it seems like.
I don't know.
No, they're pretty thick. I mean, they're not going to break.
That's right.
Sure. I wasn't part of the gauge conversation.
Yeah, I don't know about the gauges, but
Mitch just spent the most time with the records. He had to listen to like six test pressings the last couple of days of it. So was it thick?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a record to me. Didn't feel cheap.
I want you to know that I regret bringing up the thickness of the records. That was really dumb.
Hey, if that's what we're here to talk about, let's get into
it. You know, I think however people want to listen to it, it's cool. I love the fact that streaming is available, but I have a CD in my car and it sounds so good. It sounds better than streaming, that's for sure.
So do people really believe that vinyl records sound better?
No, it just sounds different. I think it's got a character about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, It's happening right there. It's reading it from the wax. It's got this warble. There can be some little cracks and pops and hisses. It's just kind of the experience of listening to it that way, you know? Personally, I like to get a phonograph machine, crank it around.
Sure, sure. A lot of people are liking the nostalgia of that whole thing. So I can definitely appreciate it, what you just described. It's the process that they like. They like the idea of, I'm holding this, I put it down, I put a needle on. And away we go.
It's romantic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I had a conversation with Diana after your last appearance in West Michigan at when we were at the intersection. It's the intersection, but it's not the intersection. What they've got like five rooms now. I forgot
what we were at Elevation last time.
Yes, that Elevation. And Diana hadn't really seen you guys since you kind of like emerged like a butterfly from a chrysalis, and the show changed things for both her and I and the audience as we witnessed you and the band with so much more to offer the concert goer. You know, you still have the tried and true Waylon songs that we all fell in love with the band originally, but now you have an entirely different thing where the band has kind of grown with the audience, and she in particular couldn't wait to get in the car to discuss what we just had witnessed.
Wow.
And she was like, you know, I've always loved those boys so much, but now I'm just seeing so much more. There's so much more to them. And I go, you're putting into words what I was going to say to you. You're right. And it really comes off in On The Way, or on our, I'm sorry,
On The Way.
On The Way. Yeah, I said it right the first time. I almost said On Our Way. But it really comes off, guys. You have outdone yourselves with this.
Oh, thanks, man. We didn't really know we were making a record even in the beginning. So it was fun for us to not only realize, oh my God, we have all these songs, but like hear them all together. It's been a really cool process getting them on one disc together.
I listened to it and I hear elements that a lot of people hadn't really heard Waylon actually approach or do, but you're able to pull it off in a fantastic way that I think you're seeing this more and more by acts who, you know, I mean, the quintessential example is the Beatles, the changing sound of the Beatles over time. Not that I'm trying to compare you to the Beatles.
No, great comparison.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, when bands come up with entirely different sounds for what their audience to enjoy and different things, to me, I think a lot of bands can be stuck where they're like, okay, do we just make the same old record that we've made before? Or do we kind of like play with it a little, see where this takes us? That is aggressive and risky. Had you been through any of the process where you're like, okay, I don't know if we're doing the right thing? Did you ever start to doubt yourselves and then somehow have to convince yourselves that you're doing the right thing?
Yeah, I would say we doubt ourselves about 50% of the time. You know, it's like you get really excited. At the same time, you don't have a choice. It's like we didn't sign up to make Welcome to My Head over and over again for the rest of our lives. That's not why Mitch and I got into music. Welcome to My Head and that sound of that little record is a record of that time, of that little moment, that week we were in LA. That's what we sounded like. You know, the first record was that time when we were writing our first batch of songs to do that, you know, like, and every real record since is that little record of time. Like this, what's cool about this is how we were feeling and what we were being inspired by. Like we are sponges. Like the things we're listening to, you know, when we're in the desert, you can hear the songs on this record that we made in Joshua Tree in the desert. There's something very special about that. We're in a garage. In the Mojave Desert, there's no rules. There's no one to tell us what to do. And we were just making music that we didn't even know what it was for.
And I think that was the real, that was the accidental structure of the record. You know, Phil is producing and we reminded ourselves in that room that there were no limitations on it, that there were no rules. And it, you know, it kind of set us up to have a record that with exactly that, there's like, there's just no walls on it.
And then we got to Nashville and we were heavily influenced by Nashville. Like, of course you're going to be, you're in Nashville, Tennessee. Like, get me some pedal steel and some fucking banjo on this stuff. You know, it was like, it was really exciting and fun for us. And, you know, we've had this conversation, but we, you know, we call it rock and roll no matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way we approach things, is it's a freedom. That's why we got into rock and roll.
To me, it's just Waylon. You know, it's just Waylon. It's beyond one. It can't be labeled one genre. It's Waylon music, and that's what you're figuring out. And the audience is kind of along for the ride.
And, yeah, we hope so. And like you said, it's risky. Like, you know, there are people that put on more recent stuff, and they're upset that it doesn't sound like Welcome to My Head or whatever. And you know, it just is what it is. Like, but what's been really fun, especially over the last year, is us getting out and taking our more recent music onto the road, putting it in the live set like you saw in Grand Rapids, where it's in there with all those classics and there's new stuff and people are hearing it as a cohesive set and a live setting.
Yeah.
You're loving it. Coming to that same response, you know.
It was an outstanding show and the way it did have a real flow to it. I mean, it's a... most bands that are worth anything know what the hell they're doing when they're putting their set list together, but you guys hit it out of the park. It was there was not a moment where I was like, hey, time to look at my phone, or I better go get a drink for Diana. I was like, you know, I really want to see this shit. I really want to be part of it. Just a lot of different sounds and styles that took place along with what was also what we originally fell in love with. So to me, it's just increased your pull and how you do things. When you were talking about working in Joshua Tree, how many of these songs, is 15 on the way, were made or were did you do there?
I would say about half.
Okay.
About half of them were done there.
And then when the rest happened from ideas after you started writing songs in Nashville.
There's a couple from the LA session.
Oh, just
getting higher
is from Los Angeles. That was before we had gone to Joshua Tree. And then one of them, Sorry About Your Heart, that phone demo, that was, we literally hit record on an iPhone, out at my parents' house in, next to Gun Lake, Michigan.
Yep.
We had written a song that day with our co-writer and producer at the time, Michael Gurley. We were just all up in my little bedroom up there and we've been writing all day and we got the song. We're like, oh, we better record it so we don't forget it. And it was just, just, I don't know, we've tried to record that song a couple times over the years and it just didn't have the same magic. So
wow. So
charm yeah. to it.
That's remarkable. So basically it was recorded live.
Oh yeah. The day we wrote it.
All of the parts and on an iPhone. The sound of it was
two or three.
It was pretty good. The actual sound of that was, it's definitely listenable. It didn't sound like, you know, you're an old school tape recorder, but it was good.
Thank you.
Primitive iPhone.
Yeah.
It worked. On the song Way Back When, which is the very first track, we talked before about this, how that came about because of a young lady that Mitch here was in a relationship with back in the day here in Grand Rapids. And after we talked about that specific moment, she heard our interview. Was she at that exact show that I was at as well?
Yeah, she was. Yeah. She loved it.
That's very cool. Very cool. Yeah. But what I know is because in the song, it's like you're getting back together.
Well,
I think he was trying to.
Yeah. No, I was not.
No, we just kind of took the idea of the rekindling and, you know, what could happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess let me back up. At that point when you were in the relationship, were there rekindlings that did take place in the past?
Not really. No, we've always stayed in touch.
Well, this could be taken as nothing more than you trying to rekindle it. Oh
yeah,
God.
But I think
fingers crossed.
I think both of us are mature enough to understand that our paths weren't supposed to cross for a long time. And
is she coming to the album release show?
I don't think so.
Right. Okay.
No, we're very different. We're very different people. And
all right.
I honestly think if she agreed to date me long term, she would be not very happy.
Oh, come on, man.
Not to speak badly about me. It's just like, you know, something, you know, like oil and water. It just like doesn't go all together. Right.
Fair enough. You teamed up with a person who I found out about through you. CC, is it Frey or Fry? How do I say it?
Fry.
CC Fry appears on the song Hollywood Sign, and she sounds phenomenal. Can you give me a little background about her?
We met her through a friend. We wrote that song with a dude we've known for like 20 years. His name's Jesse Kingston. He's a great, I don't know what he is. He's like some just crazy hippie guy in Los Angeles.
Like a yuppie hippie.
Yeah. Amazing songwriter. Yeah. And producer. He produced that track actually. And we were talking about wanting to do a collaboration with a female vocalist. And he's like, I got to introduce you to my friend Cece. And she'd been on, well, she's a finalist, I think on the X Factor,
yeah.
One of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we got together with her to hang, and we found out she grew up right near Mitch in Illinois, or where Mitch was born in Illinois.
She was from Decatur, Illinois, which is where my parents were from.
And we had so much in common. So it just worked out so perfectly, especially to have her on this song that's about, you know, growing up in the Midwest and moving out to LA where she's at now. We were there just writing and recording at the time. So it was a great friendship, and man, like you said, she sounds awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing. Oh, yeah.
Just something about male female collaborations. I guess that's called a duet, isn't it? but it really sounds good. The song sounds great. Everything on the album has a real vibe to it. Nothing stands out as you just threw it in as filler. I have a hard time saying anything bad about you, which I think is a sign of maturity.
You do best. That's what we're here for.
Yes. But I don't have anything. I wish back in the day when it was different during Lose Music Review, because I didn't know you. And the idea was to actually get a bit out of it, because the idea was, local artists are constantly telling us we need to play more local music. We'll come bring us some free food and then we'll play your music. And then we ripped you a new asshole, but you weathered the storm. And I made great friends out of that because I got you guys and I got Gunner, and he's still kicking. He's still doing his thing with the Grizzly Boys. You did shows with Gunner and the Grizzly Boys.
Absolutely.
Because of all of this. I mean, my God, now you're even closer together because similar type of genre feel to it. Jesus, you're a lot less hillbilly than they are, but my God, it's all good at the end of the day.
Absolutely, yeah, man.
We need to do a show with them again soon in West Michigan.
I know it. That would be fantastic. I floated the idea with you about getting the old band together for a date in August. I also said, yeah, I'm starting to do events. And that has completely disintegrated in front of my face. You said to me, that sounds like show business.
I mean, dude, you have no idea how many people have promised us things and situations over the, it's literally on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And you don't even plan on anything happening. I mean, on a big level or a small level, it's like, okay, well, we'll see if they really come through. It's like, you know, because I mean, people's situations change too. Like today, like they said, those guys are telling me they're going to put on events. Then I'm sure their situation changed.
Right.
You know,
can you tell everybody the story about how you got, was it the Kiss Cruise?
Yeah, we did both the Kiss Cruise and the Bon Jovi.
Okay,
yeah.
But the idea that there were so many other bands competing to get, was Kiss first?
Yes.
Yeah.
So many other bands competing to get on the Kiss Cruise. Take us through how that came out as an idea.
There were 3,000 submissions for that spot. And then we made it to like the top. I think they had 20 or something. Mm-hmm. And then it was up to fan voting. So, and that was when Alyssa, my girlfriend, had just come on as our manager. And she had this idea to make these things called Kiss-timonials. And she basically reached out to the Wailing Warriors, which, like, you know, that's the thing. Is like every win that we have had as a band has not come from, like you're talking about, like some record label or some agent. You know, yeah. And those people have not really been there in that sense for us. It's always been our fan base. And Alyssa got the Wailing Warriors to make these videos of basically talking about their favorite Kiss songs and why Wailing belonged on that Kiss cruise. Okay. And of course, you know, the Wailing Warriors flooded the,
they came out in Wailing Warriors like fashion.
There was this Kiss Cruise Facebook page or some shit. And, they just slammed it so hard with these amazing videos and showing their Kiss tattoos and their Wailing tattoos. And, it was amazing. We just won by a landslide.
Yeah.
And it was such an amazing experience. Like those cruises are kind of like a motorcycle rally where like, instead of touring around all the cities, you play that and there's people from all over are there.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, we made fans from all over the world. When we played those cruises.
Yeah.
Did you get any FaceTime with Kiss?
We did not, but, a really cool thing happened.
Alyssa did.
Yeah. Alyssa did because, their manager, Doc McGee, have you heard of him?
He's like
this famous manager who, in the 80s, he basically sold cocaine to, raise money to break, Bon Jovi. He managed Kiss later, but, it's Bon Jovi, I think maybe Skid Row, some bands like that. And so he's like super, you know, he's an old school gangster type manager. And he was doing this panel during the cruise. He was on the cruise. Fans could ask Doc McGee a question. And so one band asked, hey, is there any new bands that you're into? And he said, well, you know, last night at dinner, I was up in the steakhouse here on the cruise and I was eating and I heard this voice and this guitar. And I put my fork and knife down. And I said, who the fuck is that? And I went down to the stage and this band Wailing.
Oh.
I'm really into this band Wailing. And so all these people on the boat started telling Alyssa about it. So she worked her way during Kiss was doing some thing on
like a meet and greet or something. Talk or something.
I think it was a Kiss karaoke.
Yeah.
Thing or
yeah.
She got backstage to meet and finally got to Doc McGee and said, hey, I'm the manager of Wailing. And he immediately pulled Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons over to meet her. And they gave her some words of wisdom. And she ended up connecting and staying in touch with Doc for quite a while. She'd go to his office in Los Angeles and he'd basically try to talk her out of being a manager of what a shitty job it was.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, the band, and like you said, the Kiss, I guess, the business of Kiss is in the business of developing talent. So that was a great thing. I'm sure you were like, holy shit, this is fantastic.
Yeah, it was cool. And you know, I've never really gotten into their music so much, but like I just recently listened to their interview on Howard Stern And I mean, they are very heartfelt guys, and like they care about their fans more than anything. And that really speaks volumes to me. And one of the things that Paul Stanley told Alyssa to tell us that day was tell those guys, never be too busy to say thank you to your fans. And
wow,
I don't know, it's always stuck with me because I literally see him doing that in so many ways all the time.
Yeah.
Oops. Hold on a second. I'm hearing something that I shouldn't be hearing. How embarrassing is that?
Paul Stanley cutting in on the interview. Oops.
Sorry about that. No, that'll come out in post. Probably not. anyway. Well, that being said, how this record coming out right now, first of all, the artwork reminds me of Black Crowes. Who's behind the artwork on the album?
Well, it's funny. The artist that did the art actually has done some Black Crowes stuff. He's done some AC/DC stuff, some Aerosmith, some Ben Harper. Mm-hmm. He's a dude over in Asheville, North Carolina. His name is Josh Levy.
Nice.
He's a controversial character, but the artwork started out, when we were in Joshua Tree, we would go out to these desert parties where people would just like drop a pin in out into the desert and decide that's where you're having a party. So you have to drive out there in the dark, and try to find like lights and hope you don't hit quicksand. Yeah. In the van.
So there's no roads. You're just driving on desert.
Road. Yeah, no you're roads. You're driving very slow in the desert.
Yeah.
Jackrabbits and lizards and shit run everywhere. And so we get out there and they were having this, they had a couple trailers around and music playing, and they were projecting this crazy like psychedelic scene up onto these rocks. It was intense.
They had little stations with pillows and blankets everywhere. And
I think I smelled some weed, honestly, but I'm not sure.
I think somebody was doing weed.
Okay.
For sure.
So someone was token. but we were out there and we knew we needed album artwork because we had reached out to this guy. I sent him the music and he was sending ideas back that were just like not connecting with us. It was just, it just was not. I was like, nah, I knew it had to come from us. And so that was the night that, like, we basically were under that starry sky in the desert and had that vision of, like, well, we're not from Joshua Tree. We're not desert people. Like, we're from the Midwest, you know, but we're here in the desert making this record. And so I wanted that kind of Midwest meets the desert.
Yeah.
This, like, you know, with of course, under God's sky.
Yeah. And I see it. I see you got the barn. That's your Midwest. And here's your Joshua Tree right there.
Yeah.
What's the significance of this plane here?
It's a plane.
Oh!
it's mainly a plane. Yeah. Flying.
It looks like a fighter jet. I was. It's just
a little random.
Just cool, man. Very trippy.
But you know, you can get on a plane and go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just a plane.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, it's a fantastic effort on your part, and I want everybody to check it out. Waylon. I'm sorry.
I noticed that you sent me a picture of the back of the record and you'd put markers.
Yeah.
Back. And I thought it was funny that Vancouver was one of the songs that you had a marker by.
Yeah. It just typically when I listen to music, when I listen to the whole thing through within seconds, if a song strikes me quickly, I'm like, this is interesting, where it takes no effort on my part to make a song interesting. I always do that. However, that doesn't mean the rest are not interesting. It just, I had to go 2-3 listens and like, oh, okay. Oh, I see what's up. Oh, okay. Now I get it. But those are the ones that instantly grab me. And when I do that, I'm like, those are the ones that I think I can play on the radio and have the most impact with people. Because audience members listening to the radio or another media form, it's different than when you actually say, okay, now I'm going to put this in and I'm going to listen and I'm going to be leaned in. This will give the audience the least amount of effort to find it interesting.
You had like four picks on there. What were your four?
Way back when, Hollywood Sign, Vancouver, Getting Higher, and Sorry About Your Heart stood out to me. Oh, and Hammer and Stone, which you had sent to me way before. And yes. And that and had, so that kind of had impact with me too. And now that I've listened to this a lot, Kamikaze Waters, they I'm like, okay, I can't, now I'm knowing the song. I know the changes. I'm learning.
That's not fair. That's not fair then.
Right. So it's all good in my book. I love it all. There's not a bad song on it.
Thank you.
But it's really, you guys have outdone yourselves, and I want everybody to check it out.
So
and,
do we.
And listen. And I don't know. I think as I get older, I'm trying to become more and more patient with things like this. You know, when I was younger, I just, fuck it. If it doesn't rock, suck my dick. You know, but now it's like everything is different for me. And I can't tell you enough how proud I am of you guys. Diana, too. The show we saw, the music we listened to, when we hear you talk, it's just all part of the big picture of why we and everyone loves you guys.
Wow, thank you.
Well, we're releasing it in West Michigan. We're coming to Wayland, Michigan this Saturday for the release show.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. And you had asked me if I'll be there. And unfortunately, I have three things that I'm scheduled to do. So it's one of those days.
I was making sure you wouldn't be there. That's
yes,
all.
Of course. Tell everybody how they can see you, the specifics of that, please.
Well, there's a couple ways. We have the VIP packages that are available. We have a Burgers with the Band thing that's happening at lunchtime that day. We're meeting at a secret location near the venue. For hanging, burgers, whatever. And that's more about, like, people like to get the chance to hang out and talk a little bit.
Yeah. About the music.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we have a VIP where you can come hear the band at Soundcheck. We'll do probably 4, 5, 6 songs, try some stuff out. That's at 6 o'clock that night. And then we get pictures with everybody. You get your first chance at merch. You get a show poster, a special ticket, some stuff. And doors are at 7. It's a free show. And it's a little confusing. If you go to the Gun Lake Casino's website, it says sold out, because their little VIP booths around the edge are always sold out. The show is not sold out, and there's room for everybody. This place is huge. The new room there.
Okay, gotcha.
It's free, and there's no tickets. It is 21 and up because it's a casino. But it's just, come on. There's no, you don't have to worry about it.
So you kind of buried the lead there. You can pay for the VIP, but this is a free show for people.
Yes.
Free show.
Yes.
Holy shit.
The VIP is the hang, and then it's a free show. And our buddy, Sam Varga, he's a songwriter. He's from Louisville, Kentucky. He lives here in Nashville. We wrote like 4 or 5 songs with him on this record. We wrote All the Proof I Need.
Way Back When.
Yep, Way Back When, Hammer and Stone. What else is on there with him? Is that it? I feel like there's another one with Sam. I don't have the record in front of me, though. Anyway, he's an awesome songwriter. He's going to come open the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So really excited to meet the Wayland Warriors, and he's been such a big part of our last couple of years. And it's going to be cool. My buddy Ryan Jensen, I grew up with him, and he was the drummer in my band, the Albino Chickens. He ended up playing drums on the song The Other End on the record.
Okay.
Playing from Colorado. He's going to get up and play with us. It's going to be a big party.
What time do you think you'll take the stage on Saturday night?
We are going to play at 9:30 sharp.
Okay. Yeah, I was right away. I was doing the math because I usually walk out of the arena at 9:30. That's in Grand Rapids, so I won't be down. I wouldn't be down to you till 10:30.
So we'll do about a 90-minute set. We'll play till about 11.
Yeah.
Are you doing the motorcycle thing in Muskegon this year? Maybe.
We have not heard from them. I would love to.
Oh, that was awesome. That was that's a great event. That's an awesome event.
I would like to go back. I'd like to go back when Mitch could actually sing.
That's a do-over. That was a fucking shock to everybody's system, because he's just walking around smiling, not talking. Yeah. And he gets on the goddamn stage.
I tried.
That was fucking brutal.
I tried. Just didn't. It's like one of...
Like 3 times in our entire career has Mitch not been able to sing.
He lost his voice.
Totally lost it.
All right, I don't want to dwell on that. I love the music. I love you guys. It's always a special time talking to you. I could talk to you literally 4 or 5 hours at one time. It's that easy to talk to you.
Thank you for the new record, man.
And and big news, Wayland Music is going to be heard on Northern Michigan on Q100. That's the radio station I told you guys about. So I can't wait. to, I mean, I've played you before on there, but it's been on midnight to 2 a.m. on the weekend. Now I work Monday through Friday, 6 to 10. So I can't wait to delve deep with the audience about you. And then you can be on there. You can make that part of your tour stops. You can come up and hang with those people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You will love it. I'm so excited for you for a lot of things. And I can't wait to play you on the air on Q100.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate Eric.
Okay, guys. All the best. Much love.
All right.
Love you, brother.
Thank you,
buddy. See you, guys. Bye.
Something changed inside of me the night I watched you pour a drink next to the sunset. Who could forget the way you